life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 74 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is January the 5th, 2013. Ooh. And joining us today is Bradley C. Meek.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year to
all
of
you. What a great New Year.
But, you know, funnily enough, 2013 isn't feeling all that different from 2012 to me. I don't... What's up with that?
I'm looking out the window. Yeah, the weather does seem very much like it was in 2012.
Specifically December 9th, 2012. It's weird like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, rings a bell.
It does, yeah. But we are here to talk the past year, 2012, what we enjoyed, what drove us mad, and also what people actually watched in Japan, as opposed to the weird otaku stuff that people pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
But first up, there are UK anime releases this week. Which I was surprised, because I seem to remember that it used to be around this time. They'd like to take a month off. But no, we have Dragon Ball Z Season 5, which I neglected to see what arc that was.
So...
Okay.
And I bet he knew just... right then.
Because there's going to be a point in time where I'm going to say, right, I've been paid, I don't have to spend much money this month, I'm just going to go out and buy all the seasons, because I would like to own them. I'll probably never watch them again, but I want them there just in case.
Oh, yes, in Perfect Cell and Perfect Cell Saga. I've not seen this, but I think Cell was the first Dragon Ball Z character I saw, possibly way before I was into anime or anything along those lines.
Oh, really?
Because when I eventually did sort of get a, what was it called, Jam, I think it was a Belgian fanzine, they were doing synopses of the entire series. I was like, oh, I've seen that character before somewhere.
Do you like the look of Cell?
I do, yeah. I think he's a good design.
Yeah, he's a good villain as well. Good villain. I can't believe this originally ran in 1992. That's unbelievable. That just makes me... I don't say I didn't watch it then, but that just makes
that
me
still
feel
makes
old.
You old.
Jesus, yeah.
Yep. Jesus. One of these days I'll get around to finishing Dragon Ball Kai. And then I can see what all the fuss is about the Cell Saga.
Well, I think they've said that they're going to do some more of that. Because I don't think they've done Cell Saga in Kai.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good, though, if they're doing more of that. Though, I mean, does that mean that they're going to cancel Toriko? I hope not.
Well, from what I read, and I don't know how valid this information was, I think it was with an interview with Mayumi Tanaka, Luffy's voice, and Krillin on... I think she was saying they were doing it for the overseas market, not necessarily for Japan.
Oh, right.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea how verified that information is, but that is what I read. And I would not be surprised if they did, because I don't know why they stopped at that point. Because it wasn't like it was getting bad ratings.
So what saga did it stop at, Kai?
I cannot remember. I'm sure we missed.
I didn't add the song. It was still going. I just assumed that it's the kind of thing people really like.
Dragon Ball.
Clearly, I'm wrong.
You know, funnily enough, even among Dragon Ball fans, I haven't heard a lot of good things about Kai. I really enjoyed what I saw of it.
See, I've just got no reason to watch it because, you know, I've seen Dragon Ball Z before. So it's almost a shame that I feel like I owe it to Dragon Ball Z that I kind of want to watch it, but.
Well, I imagine when you want to, like, re-experience Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Kai should probably be what you go for so that you can have, you know, less crap to go through.
Definitely. You're probably right there.
It's because it's so much more condensed. And I only watched the first DVD set, which covers the first part of the invasion arc. And I quite enjoyed that. I enjoyed it so much, in fact, that I went back and I watched all of the original Dragon Ball series. And kind of over-Dragon Balled myself so that I still haven't gone back and watched Kai. But I've enjoyed a lot of what I've seen so far of Dragon Ball. Anyway, Neither here nor there.
Hang on. Oh, no, I'll tell a lie. Sally's covered in it. It's Boo, which isn't covered.
There's some okay Boo, like, bits, but... To be honest, they can leave it as Cell, and just that's it. I would be happy with that. Boo Saga's not that good. So...
Yeah, so, yeah, it goes up to the Cell games. Is Yeah, that's what Kai covers. So,
I think
yeah,
that's a pretty good ending.
It is Boo they didn't do.
Hmm, okay.
Boo-hoo to Dragon Ball Z fans.
And also, out this week is Needless Part 1.
You know, I've been meaning to watch that. I watched some of it when it aired, and this was kind of when Tigan Toppin Gurlagon was at the height of its popularity. And Needless has a kind of a similar aesthetic, at least in the let's do utterly ridiculous, quote-unquote manly, absurd action, with a fair amount of fan service. And at the time, even though that sounds like something I would really dig now, I remember being turned off by it. I think in part because it has the creepiest fucking ending animation
nice.
Ever fucking made. It's just...
Yeah, that's what put me off as well. It was the aesthetics of it seem very confused in terms of what it wants to be. It's like the main character almost seems like he's walked in from a completely different show than a lot of the supporting cast are in.
I think it looks pretty good. I'm surprised I've not heard more about this, because it looks decent, but...
I wonder how much... Like, that's got to be on purpose, right? They're just taking a crazy jambalaya, which is a... That's an American dish, in case you...
Oh, we have... Yeah, we have that.
Okay, you get jambalaya as well. Okay. But it was a crazy kind of jambalaya of just otaku tropes, and I don't remember it mixing well, but I would like to try it again sometime.
It's still... The comic is still running, apparently.
Mm.
In Ultra Jump. 16 volumes so far.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
That's really stuff that's too explicit for Shonen Jump, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Or, yeah, sort of things get moved over to there. You've got a creator whose audience has grown up with him, but he's not necessarily picked up any new people, I think, end up going over there as well.
JoJo's.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the effect of JoJo's will be on the audience for the comic, whether it's going to pick up loads of people. We have to see what the sales are probably over the next year.
Yeah.
On the manga, whether loads of back sales happen.
Please be successful. Please be successful.
And then, for some reason, which I cannot fathom, there is a re-release of Shigeroi Death Frenzy. A title, as far as I know, you would have not had trouble getting the original print of.
This seems like something like people will watch it and they'll go, oh, this looks good. It's got Death Frenzy. It has samurai. This is why I like anime. And then...
As Greg likes to point out, technically it's called Death Frenzy, Death Frenzy. I have a copy of it sitting on my shelf, which I have not finished watching.
Will you be buying the re-release just in case there's anything new?
No. Because it was dirt cheap everywhere anyway. It's on Netflix as well.
That's true.
I just cannot fathom why that's getting a re-release, unless there's a bunch of stuff they're re-releasing. I suppose it might be licensing purposes, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's very confusing. But that's your lot for this week. That's what you're getting. But I'm sure it's plenty to tide you over if you must buy every single anime released in the UK. I'm sure there must be some people out there who do.
Oh, yeah.
Some right weirdos. Right. On to our 2012 in review. Now, I'm going to kick this off. I've been through Anime News Network and Box Office Mojo and created a big old list of what people watched on TV. So the stuff which entered the top tens that Anime News Network put up. What sold on Blu-ray, I've made a list of what things sold volumes more than 10,000 units, which is kind of hard because there's a huge gap missing, I think, on their Blu-ray charts, if I remember correctly, for some reason. I don't know whether that was where they were getting the information from, stopped giving out information. And also the box office, which I got from Box Office Mojo for Japan. So I'll start with TV. Here's the stuff which tends to chart each and every week when it's on TV. So you got, and we'll also talk about how, whether you can actually see it in English anywhere. So topping the chart, of course, is Saizei-san, which you cannot watch new episodes of that in English anywhere.
Nope. I would like to watch old episodes of it, or just some of it. I want to know what's up with that show and why it's so consistently popular. So,
so that's number one in Japan?
Yeah, every single week. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, wow. All the time.
Yeah, it's the equivalent. Imagine if Last of the Summer Wine was the most popular program in the UK, almost. It's a big family comedy, Sunday night family comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. That people watch.
I think there's some fan subs kicking around, but I don't know how great they are, because I think they're from that R group. So they may just be Hong Kong bootleg subs. Then there's Chibi Maruko-chan. Again, no one's fan subbing new episodes of that. No one's streaming it. super popular. I think there's some fan subs of films kicking around. And there's music videos as well on YouTube, which are great. Shin-chan. You can get Funimation have got old episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not getting new stuff. I think the nearest this year being fan sub new of Shin-chan was the Kamen Rider Falls crossovers. They did get fan subbed.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It kind of does.
It's pretty wacky. They are very short segments, but it is pretty wacky. Sort of live action human beings being molested by a cartoon child.
Yes.
You're not selling it anymore.
The annoying thing was they did that Shin Men thing, I don't know if it was this year or like the previous year, the superhero spin-off that Masaki Yuasa did some work on. And no one's fan subbed that. I've got three episodes worth in raw form, but infuriating. Then you got Doraemon. Again, no new episodes fan subbed. I think the closest we've had is the 2011 movie got fan subbed. And of course, everyone's been obsessing over those Jean Reno ads where he plays Doraemon in the live action. All the characters grown up. And somehow Doraemon's grown up into a French actor.
Incredible.
It's awesome.
They are pretty good. And the casting of the other characters is pretty spot on as well.
Yeah, if there's a consistently popular show in Japan that I really wish was somehow available in English as it aired, Doraemon would be the one I really want to see. It seems like such nice comfort food for people who like cartoons.
Yeah, and when I worked in Stamford, there was Stamford, Lincolnshire, not Stamford in America. There was a car which I deemed the Doraemon car, which Ooh. I think was owned by the people who owned the Chinese family who owned the fish and chip shop. In that, the entire car was just filled with Doraemon plushies and seat covers, and everything inside was Doraemon related.
Wait! That can't be true. You said a Chinese family ran a fish and chips shop?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Huh. All right.
Welcome to England. Then of course you got One Piece, which is streamed in America,
mm-hmm.
and people rip those streams so the rest of the English speaking world could actually watch them.
I followed this. I actually spent like 5 days watching nothing but the Fishman Island arc, which they finished this year. And actually ran for about the entirety of the year. Should I talk about that now or later?
Yeah, you can go ahead, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it was pretty good. I'm amazed that we're, nearly 600 episodes into One Piece, and it is still consistently good. That's kind of a miracle. I think comparing the Fishman Island arc to some of the other story arcs, it's not as strong. I think partly because there's not as much drama in the fights. this takes place when, after the 2-year break, when everybody has done a lot of training and are much stronger. And I think Oda wanted to show that the Straw Hats are finally in a league of their own and are ready for whatever massive challenges they're going to have in the new world. But what I loved about the Fishman Island arc is that it's probably the smartest story arc, as in what it has to say about the real world, especially kind of its political commentary. The backstory that they have for the Fishman Island is basically a great example of democracy at work, and how incredibly difficult it is to get change to happen in a society, especially in any kind of a civil rights movement, and what kind of perspectives people are going to come from when they're trying to correct thousands of years of injustice. I loved it. I really liked the idea of the Hody Jones character, which was basically taking a dude who had simmered, who had basically grown up in the ghetto among layers and layers of hatred. And even though he had no particular reason to hate humans, he became an extremely spiteful being just because of the place he was raised in. But again, in part because he didn't feel like much of a threat to Luffy and basically took drugs, which felt a little hokey even for One Piece.
The drug taking thing is, that's set up. Yeah, that's set up for stuff further on in next year's anime.
Really? Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. Interesting. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. I think One Piece is still a really smart cartoon. I'm increasingly coming around to the opinion that One Piece is probably one of the best anime ever made.
No.
Simply because of the size of the project and what it has pulled off so far and how long it's been able to run and just do a good job doing what it does week in, week out.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the I think definitely the Fishman Island arc is to show off how tough they've become in the 2 years.
Yep.
But yeah, the way it handles the topic of racism, and it's just the fact that in earlier interviews, Oda has said that arcs aren't about any specific thing when people have brought up sort of saying, is this about this sort of like, is the Water 7 arc sort of, the attempt to get Pluton about weapons of mass destruction and stuff, and sort of, but yeah, with this arc, he has specifically said, yes, this is about racism and sort of the importance of, even if you do feel racist, to not behave racist around children. Because there is a character in the flashback who specifically still hates humans, but he knows not to be hateful around any children because he doesn't want that hatred to carry on down the generations.
When he gave that speech when he was dying, that was so moving, and that was just a really thoughtful way to approach the character about why he acted the way he did and how he just kind of knew what his limits were.
And the design on Koala is ridiculously the most adorable child ever in One Piece.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Yeah, so tragic as well, the fact that she can't stop smiling even though horrible things happening to her. But yeah, the slightly annoying thing is that the American release of the manga hasn't finished that arc. And there's a long wait to the next volume. Oh, dear.
Let me see if you had the same reaction I did to one of the new developments. Frankie just got so much more awesome. I was cool with him before, but now he's got a giant robot. And the giant robot is just such a great riff on giant robots in general. They got so many good gags from that. In fact, this was probably one of the best arcs for gags, period. The humor on this show is just spot on.
Yeah, I like the way all the characters' powers have developed as well. And the Robin can now sort of duplicate her entire body, not just...
Yes.
When she does the double Boston Crab camel clutch.
I really hope that they give her a really tough villain. I feel like Robin's always underused. She feels like she should get something really awesome, but she never does.
Yeah, I suspect she's got another arc to come in her, because there's just some way, the way he titles some of the chapter headings tends to be, they get like an sort of like the, I can't remember, it's like the third, the fourth, they sort of, the title, the chapter title, when that particular character's background problems have kind of been resolved, they get that particular heading. And I don't think she has, still hasn't technically had that.
Interesting. Yeah, well, huh, okay. I thought that her background was pretty much tied up, except for the point of, you know, trying to find out what happened in those, I think it was 1,000 years, or was it?
Yeah.
The lost century, or whatever it is. Okay.
I could be wrong with that, but I think that's the, because I think the chapter at the end of the Water Seven and his lobby arc is actually Usopp and Frankie's numbers.
Really?
Not
that's
Bert.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what's going to tie in with the 2 years she spent with the revolutionaries as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I like that the story arc didn't explain what happened in the 2 years for anybody. So no,
except maybe Sanji. He just spent the entire 2 years being chased by transvestites.
I have such mixed feelings. You know, sometimes One Piece can be years and years ahead of other cartoons in its attitudes towards gays and queers in general. And then in other respects, it's completely retrograde. I just don't know what to think about it.
I think it's just the general sort of attitude of homosexuality. So homosexuality is hilarious in Japan.
God.
where you see the Tiger and Bunny movie.
I hated that character.
Oh, but he's even more amped up in the movie. It's like, now we can do, now we can do all the jokes we couldn't do. Yeah.
Anyway, but, yes, yeah. One Piece, still great.
Next regularly charting is Detective Conan, which does get regular fan subs of its latest episodes. But again, that seems unusual. That's not been streamed, which is, and it's TMS, which makes me think something we discussed on a previous episode.
Yeah, TMS. What's up with that?
I don't know, because they've got a fairly good web presence themselves on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take down other people's clips, but they generally do have clips of pretty much every show they've released.
It's gotta be money, right? They gotta be asking too much.
Yeah, I'm guessing. But Fujiko did stream, so who knows? Mm. Though that was Madhouse and TMS, but I assume TMS were holding the purse strings there. But yeah, I've not checked in on Detective Conan for ages. So I'm intending to.
I guess it's got to be a combination of, like, how much hype something's getting beforehand. Like, TMS does good shows, but I don't think that they do enough shows that have a broad fandom. Like, I think Lupin does, or, like, how promising the woman called Fujiko Mine looked.
Yeah. We shall see. Oh, yeah, but it is surprising that Detective Conan isn't being streamed anywhere, because you'd think it's got a decent enough fan base that you could start streaming it, and then the streaming would generate more.
I remember Conan kind of being a big deal several years ago, and I haven't really heard much from the fandom since then.
No, I don't know what sort of things are going on. Last time I checked in, it was going through its typical sort of, here's a new character, they're behaving suspiciously.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it turns out they're not as suspicious as the audience has been led to believe. They're actually just trying to do something on their own that they should have asked for help about. But that's actually every
this
single
is the
character.
Part he okay. talks about Murder, She Wrote again.
Wee, if you want to, I've watched some earlier episodes, and they were much better. Bryan Cranston got killed in one, and he wasn't even the bad guy. He was like a nice guy, and he got blown up in a car.
Okay.
Apparently in 3 episodes, but she wrote. Anyway, then the Precure shows. Those were the... I missed out Toriko first.
Yes.
Which does get streamed in America, doesn't it, on Funimations.
Yes. Are you following this?
I have not. Anthony did for a while, but I think he did.
I gave up.
Pick it up again. It's been really good. It is probably my third favorite shonen anime airing right now. I don't know if my third is charting. But
I just need a good time to jump back in. I'm not sure when. The last time I saw it, there was climbing a big bean sprout.
Okay. Then you probably stopped somewhere around where I stopped, but only because I knew there was a big arc coming up and I wanted to save episodes.
Ah, right, okay.
So, I mean, after the Century Soup arc, which was really, really good, things feel like they've kind of keyed down a lot in the build-up towards going to what is more or less Toriko's equivalent of the Grand Line.
Ooh.
Gourmet World. So when they get to Gourmet World, I imagine things are going to get even crazier, even though it is kind of already a crazy and thoroughly enjoyable show. So
I could probably jump in now. And it wouldn't really affect much.
I mean, there is an ongoing story, and I bet you probably want to follow that. I don't know, a lot like One Piece, episodes are just going to melt away because you're not going to watch even 23 minutes. You're going to skip the opening, then skip the explanation of what happened in the last few episodes, and I'll leave you like about 15 minutes of content to blast through.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we got the two precure, so we had the end of Sweet, and then, or was it Sweet? Which one was this year? Sweet or Smile?
Smile is this year's.
Okay, and we had the end of Sweet at the start of the year. Mm-hmm. They both got fan subbed.
I'll talk about Smile Precure later.
Okay, then we got Pokemon Best Wishes, or I think Black and White, as it is over here.
Are we getting that stream?
I think we do. We don't get streamed. It gets on TV pretty damn quick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's normally like a gap of about 4 months.
Hmm. Okay.
I'd like to get back into the Pokemon series. Watched a lot as a kid, so...
You know, it is kind of nice to have something that I was obsessed with as a child being the obsession of other children right now.
Yeah.
Some things never change.
I was about to say that, yeah.
Somehow I've seen one episode of Pokemon Best Wishes, and I have seen it twice.
What?
Both times when I switched over and Pokemon was on, it was the same episode. It was one where everyone has to wear afros to go through this wood to avoid getting attacked by a monster.
That's awesome! Oh, man. I need to pay more attention to children's shows in Japan, because clearly that's where it's at right now.
Then the Lupin TV specials, both new and old, they all chart. So, and Inazuma 11 Go to Chronostone, that charts fairly regularly. That's been fan-subbed. That's the time-travelling one.
Ooh.
So Inazuma 11 Go is like a 10-year time skip, I think, from the original Inazuma 11, or something along those lines. And then Chronostone's the one with the time traveling bus. There's somebody, I think the villain is somebody from the future who wants to wipe out football.
Awesome.
Now, whether that's actually what it turns out to be, because Inazuma 11 can be tricky about what the villain appears to be and what they actually are.
You know what Inazuma 11 reminds me of? And I just now made this connection. Have you ever played the Hoops Barkley Saga?
Yeah, I played the. Yes, I played some of the first game. Obviously, the second one's coming soon, isn't it?
Yeah, coming soon. Oh, man. Now I know how to sell Inazuma 11 to people.
It's also a lot like, if you like Pokemon as well, it's like, except instead of collecting monsters, you're collecting footballers. And the other thing which charts fairly regularly, and it's not Japanese-made, is Curious George.
Really? Huh.
The animated Curious George. And here's a list of stuff which appears in the top 10 when things are on hiatus. So this is sort of bubbling under. Naruto Shippuden, which you can get on Crunchyroll. Magi, I think the first episode of that charted, but none of the subsequent episodes.
That was on my list to watch as well.
That's one of the big disappointments for 2020.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I never got around to watching it. It's in the UK, it's on Anime On Demand. Where is it? Is it Crunchyroll in America, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But I think it's also licensed by whatever weird company ADV has become over the last few years. So.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, weird conglomerate of companies, isn't it? Danbol Senki W, which I mentioned on an earlier episode, that sneaks in occasionally, as does Hunter x Hunter.
Hey.
Yes, I have things to say about that too.
Okay, far away.
All right, that is my second favorite shonen anime airing right now. So good. I loved the original Hunter x Hunter. Mm-hmm. This adaptation is definitely a step up because they resolve things quicker. It's been a lot of fun to watch. I hope they actually finish it this time.
Yeah,
but
the odds
just aren't there.
Now, is it still ongoing, the comic?
Yes, yeah. And I think it went on hiatus again. So.
Oh, yeah, he's got health problems, hasn't he, if I remember correctly.
Sort it out!
they're still on material that is not new to me. And I think middle of next year they will get to material that they didn't cover in the original series. I'm really looking forward to that, but I'm enjoying revisiting just how creative the series is, how it takes tropes and just twists them a little bit and goes in places you don't really expect. And occasionally it's just an immensely badass show.
And it's its first film next year as well.
I'm looking really forward to that a lot.
Then that's on Crunchyroll, as is Space Brothers, which has occasionally appeared.
Oh, okay.
Tamagotchi.
Oh.
Now, it used to be Tamagotchi episodes on YouTube, but I don't know whether they've kept them updated. It was like the last stand of Bandai and anime in America.
that's for the little toys, right?
The virtual pets, yes.
Okay. Huh, wow, that takes me back.
Yeah, it's still going. Then another one of the big voids of really long-running shows that nobody's fan-subbed, and that is Nintama Rantaro, the ninja comedy.
Never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's been running since, I think, the early mid-90s, if I remember correctly, yeah.
Huh.
Hundreds and hundreds of episodes. Nobody bothers fan-subbing it. Another non-anime sneaks in occasionally, or non-Japanese animation, is Shaun the Sheep, which if you're in the UK is pretty much on the BBC all the time.
God, I didn't know that was still a thing. Yeah. I didn't know. Fancy that.
No Rasta Mouse appearing yet in these Japanese charts. I don't know if Rasta Mouse has made his way to Japan. I'll have to check that out, whether he has or not. Familiar with Rasta Mouse, Bradley?
No, that sounds awesome, though.
It is pretty much exactly what it says on the title.
Fantastic.
Jewel Pet Kira Deco occasionally appears.
That's the one with everybody's a jewel pet, and it's weird and kind of awesome.
That's the third one. This Kira Deco is everyone's a jewel pet. And then some humans land on their planet, and they're, rather than magical girls, they're a Super Sentai team of kids. And they just hang out with dual pets doing stuff.
Still sounds great!
I've seen the first episode and one of the earlier episodes, where one of the dual pets tries to make a clone of one of the humans, but it's like a chicken clone of, it's very strange. And it has elements of magical girl shows, but it's not a magical girl show. It's just really bizarre.
The more you talk about it, the more I think I need to see this, and I need to see Inazuma 11.
Folk Tales from Japan occasionally sneaks in.
Oh, good.
Which is on Crunchyroll. I've checked a few episodes out of that. I watched one episode, found one of the stories I really like the visual style of, and then.
Yes.
Went back and found what other episodes that particular company had done.
It is a really good show. It didn't make my top five, but it's absolutely something people need to check out, even if they don't think they're going to like it.
Anpan Man occasionally checks in. I thought he would have been higher, but since how long he was running, but I don't think he is. And then another British show, Chuggington, occasionally appears in the top 10.
What's that again?
It is like the poor man's Thomas the Tank Engine.
Chuggington.
Oh my god.
Chuggington. Is it like based for what? Oh god.
It's a British computer animated television series for children. Yes, BBC Children's Channel CBeebies in 175 territories around the world.
I don't even think my nephew watches this. I've never seen anyone watch this before, ever.
I don't recommend it.
I'm not, yeah. Chuggington. I've heard the name.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, obviously super popular, because it's been sold seemingly everywhere.
Yeah. God.
And finally, it squeezed in the first week of the year into the top 10. Gundam Age.
Really?
Yes.
That was a tie point. Oh, man. I am so heartbroken. Gundam Age broke my heart in so many ways. Anyway.
On Blu... Things which sold more than 10,000 on Blu-ray. Well, there's four which sold massive amounts. And they are, of course, Evangelion 1.0, You Are Not Alone. Evangelion 2.22, You Cannot Advance. The K-On! Film and Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn.
Wow. All those are good things.
And then there's like a sharp drop-off before you get to all the other sort of stuff which sold. So you got Nisei Monogatari, Totoro on Blu-ray, Persona 4, Kuriko's Basketball, The Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
Oh, did that get a re-release?
Yeah, I think there's a lot, there's, some of these things are things which are getting released on Blu-ray for the first time.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe just consistent sellers. Fate / Zero, Horizon in the Middle of Nowhere, Horizon in the Middle of Nowhere 2, Mobile Suit Gundam Seed, Tarry Tarry.
Seed outsold Age. Think about that for a minute.
People like the first series. Oh, you know, Seed Destiny didn't. that is conspicuous by its absence.
Anyway.
Hey, Gundam fan. I'm not sure whether Age failed because it's Gundam or whether it's...
Because it's not very good.
I mean, when we get to what we hated, or rather, my topic will probably be what we were disappointed by, I'll talk more about Age.
Tarry Tarry, I've never even heard of.
Oh, that's one of PA Works anime. They've recently been doing a lot of low-key, fairly realistic comedies that I think people look at and they go, oh, that's for otaku, and it is, but it could also do well as kind of a... I don't want to say slice of life, but a sitcom that takes place in a very specific time and place in Japan. Let's put it that way.
Strike Witches, Sword Art Online,
woo!
Code Geass, Nunalien Wonderland.
What? Really?
Yeah, that sold well.
Okay.
I suspect it was just Code Geass fans hankering for any sort of fix.
Oh, man.
From up on...
Well, I'm surprised that charted and the OVA didn't. That released this year. And that,
I thought Nunali in Wonderland was an OVA.
It is, but there's another OVA that's starting a new story arc.
Okay. Maybe I missed that. It's entirely possible. Like I said, there was gaps in this, so...
Oh, okay.
There may be a few months worth of stuff. I have no idea what charted then. From Up on Poppy Hill, Gunbuster, Steins Gate, Full Metal Alchemist, The Sacred Star of Mylos, Tiger and Bunny, Bakemonogatari, and Toradora.
Wow.
So...
I'm surprised that still charts years later.
Yeah, that might have been quite early in the year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff which just does not do well at all, considering the amount of stuff which gets released every year. It's like the ones which squeak through into stuff which people are interested in spending lots of money on is very small. I didn't look at DVDs because I don't think much is selling more than 5,000 nowadays. And the box office. So what did Boffo box office? Always wanted to say that. So I'm a weirdo. So bear in mind that as we're recording this, One Piece Movie Z hasn't opened.
I'm looking forward to that.
And Inazuma 11 Go versus Danball Senki W has only just opened.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
That's what you were talking about. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
In a previous episode. Yeah, that's the second film where they've thought they've crossed over.
So little robots versus Japanese school children who can throw nukes with soccer balls.
Yeah, I don't know how
that's
it works.
The gist of it.
Yeah. And thanks to Crom on the Hill on Twitter, who pointed out also that the Blue Exorcist film opens on December 28th.
Mm. I think that'll do pretty well.
Yeah, I think it will, because it's a very popular comic, and the series did surprisingly well, considering the time of day it was airing. So, top of the charts at the moment, with $52 million taken in Japan, is Wolf Children.
Nice.
I would expect the second one, Eva 3.0, to overtake that at some point. That's on 45 million at the moment.
Okay.
Then you've got the Dorimon film from this year, or last year, at 44 million. Also at 44 million is the Pokemon film.
Hey.
And also at 44 million is the Detective Conan film.
Okay.
I'm presuming all those three do well because you get the entire family going out to see them.
Mm, yeah.
Yep, that's the strategy.
Because then there's a big drop-off to the next highest film at 17 million, which is Road to Ninja, Naruto the Movie.
Yeah.
Which I think is the alternate reality one.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I think
I
it's
didn't
like,
know that was a thing.
Yeah, I think it's like a alternate telling of
The origin story,
It's set in an alternate timeline of the Naruto universe in which Naruto never lost his parents and many characters have different personalities.
Ooh. Interesting. Okay, I might check that out.
Yes.
It's been years since I've cared about Naruto, but it is something I've wanted to watch again because, in case it wasn't clear, I like Shonen Jump shows.
And this is called Rose to Ninja.
Road to Ninja.
Oh, Road. Okay. Yeah, let's check that out.
There might be some context from Shippuden that I'd need to really enjoy that, though. Because I never got to the point where I found out much about his parents. And I understand that Naruto's backstory finally gets the full treatment in Shippuden somewhere.
Yeah, quite early-ish on, really.
Yeah, I'm going to say, and also it's exactly what you'd have thought it was from
the beginning. As far back as possible, really.
Yes. Whoever you thought his dad was from the very first episode, it was him. Spoiler alert.
Wait, I don't remember who I would have thought. Okay.
Okay.
Can't spoil it, it's a big deal.
Then you've got Precure All-Stars New Stage Mirai no Tomodachi, which took 11 million. Then the Crayon Shin-chan film for this year took 11 million. Then you've got Smile Precure movie, which took 10 million. And then...
Wait. Oh, yes, there was one. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought that hadn't aired yet.
They were doubling down on the Precure movies in the same way they double down on Kamen Rider movies.
Mm-hmm.
I assume they're going to start doing that every... Have they been doing the crossover ones every year for a while now?
Yeah, they have. They haven't been good for a while either.
Okay, sounds a bit like... I think Kamen Rider's running into that as well. Because they do a crossover one... They'd like to do a crossover one with like the current series and the previous series each year.
Yeah. Oh, just those two? Because the crossover for Pretty Cure is every Pretty Cure in one movie.
Oh, well, because I think what they're going to start doing is they're going to start doing every Kamen Rider and every Sentai cross, because they're doing another one of those crossovers as well next year.
Oh, good luck for that. Are either amazingly awesome or bad.
And then the current Kamen Rider will get get their own film, and then they get the following year get to cross over with the next one. And I assume they have a similar approach to Precure at this point.
Yeah.
So maybe eventually they'll have Precure crossing over with all the other Toei magical girls.
You know, I think Toei's handling Sailor Moon. I'd like to see that crossover.
Oh yeah, that's one of their. They market them all together on, at least in Europe, they've got the page on their site is Magical Girls, and it's every single Magical Girl they've ever put out. So, and I think they've done crossovers in the past, but yeah, I just wonder whether at some point they're just going to go, maybe when they hit an anniversary or something of the first one, they'll go, let's do a crossover with every single Magical Girl we have access to.
Oh, God.
That sounds like it would be a disaster.
I'm sure it would be, but it would probably make a ton of money as well.
Okay.
Well, because you get the mums want to take the daughters out because the mums can go, oh, that was my magical girl. That's your magical girl.
Yes. Well, pretty much at this point, that's what's happening with Pretty Cure, right?
2005, so 7 years, maybe. I don't know, though.
Maybe.
Give it a few more years. And then slipping in at number 10 on my list is, of course, The Mystical Laws.
All right.
Of course.
No comment.
Yeah.
It's the one sponsored by a religious group, isn't it? It aired in London at Hyper Japan, I believe.
Hmm.
And it currently has 1 star on Rotten Tomatoes, 20%.
Incredible.
So I think one person must have liked it. There we go. If you're an anime fan, you already know to look past the mumbo-jumbo plots and enjoy the visual scope of a battle between good and evil, says G. Allen Johnson of the San Francisco Chronicle.
They do give a lot of money to them.
But everyone else says, thumbs down. Who conceived this ponderous quasi-evangelical hokum anyway, says Andy Webster of New York Times. Yeah, so it's made a lot of money for a film nobody likes, so somebody
gets... They keep doing it.
That does tend to be how religious films work.
Okay.
So I'm going to guess you may see some more of those films.
Oh, people will. I will not.
And the other ones which charted were Tiger and Bunny the Beginning.
Hey.
That got 5 million. The two Madoka films. I think the first one got 5 million. I don't know what the second one's done.
That is a lot lower than I would have guessed.
Yeah, exactly. I think they enter high and then drop quickly. Whereas Wolf Children hung around for ages. I didn't even enter at number one. It just hung around so long that it took it 52 million.
Wow. Like, good job, Posada. Good job.
Yeah. 009 Re-Cyborg, that got in the top 10.
Oh, I forgot that existed.
Yeah, I forgot that.
Yeah. The Anpan movie.
What is Anpan?
Anpan Man. He's a superhero made out of bread.
He's
also kind of a religious cartoon if you want to think about it too hard. But
has he got incredibly rosy cheeks and a whiskey?
He does. Yes.
Yes.
He's a big round faced fella.
Very iconic character.
Yes.
Mm.
The magical girl Lyrico Nanoha, the movie's second A's.
I'm looking forward to watching that.
That's one of us.
the only one of us. I know. You have good reason.
Gusuke Budori no Denki, which I believe is a adaptation of something by the same guy who did Night on the Galactic Railroad. Berserk, the two Berserk film. Oh no, the second Berserk film got in the top 10. The first one didn't.
Cool.
Blood Sea, The Last Dark.
I've heard that's really good.
Letter to Momo, and Magic Treehouse, based on the books. I think that Magic Treehouse is the one I did not know existed until I was going through the charts.
I didn't know existed until you mentioned it just now.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing Letter to Momo, though.
Yeah, the animation is absolutely crazily good. Ridiculously good. It owes a lot to films you've already seen, but it pulls everything off really well. Right, let's get into our own personal favourites. So, Bradley, do you want to go first?
No. Y'all go on ahead and...
to cut a long story short, be blunt.
I've talked enough.
I'll go first. You know what? I'm going to go first.
Okay.
Because this was tough. I'd like to mention that this wasn't as easy as last year's.
I think part of the problem is, Anthony, is that because we've been podcasting so much, we've ended up... Time we might have spent watching current stuff, we've spent watching stuff for the podcast.
Possibly. But this list is final. So, like it or not. In at my number 5, many would probably disagree, but it managed to entertain me. And that was Mysterious Girlfriend X.
Oh. Surprise choice. Okay.
Mm. See, I was never ever going to watch this. And then obviously I did. And... It's as close to being hentai without being hentai, I feel. It's almost tasteful, and it's very perverse and very erotic, and I would be very embarrassed if someone actually saw me watching it, but it's basically about a young, well, teenage boy meets a girl. He licks her saliva off a desk and basically falls in love with her, and it's basically about him and her, and it's just, it's very strange. It's very strange.
It's really surreal, yeah.
But it's good, and I think you would like it, Bradley. I think you of all people.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first episode. I never got around to watching the rest of it, though I meant to. It is on the list to be seen.
Yeah, it's strangely erotic. So that's why it managed to, it's kept me watching, so.
Just the eroticism? See, what would probably keep me going is the weirdness of it. I know that there's kind of a mystery of, is she an alien? Is she controlling these guys' minds? Mm. Or is it just that the guys really do have an ongoing crush on her? And that's why they like to lick her spit. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a weird premise, but on paper it sounds like the worst thing ever conceived. But it just works, and I think that's why I was so surprised that I liked it. And because I was so surprised, I think that's why it deserves my number 5 spot.
All right.
Okay, so do you want to go next, or are you going to make me go next?
I'll make you go next.
Okay, right.
Bradley!
I'm going to go for, let's say, Bimbo Gamigar.
I thought it would be higher on your list. You sounded like you really enjoyed that.
I did, but I'm going to put some films in, so.
Okay.
Well, that would do films as well? I didn't know that! Oh, this is ridiculous. Go ahead.
I did pay to see those films, so I'm going to put them in a list. It's a lot of fun. It's about a incredibly lucky girl who has too much luck that she's actually siphoning off the luck of those people around her. And so this bad luck god, Momji, is sent to drain her luck away. And they sort of enter a love-hate relationship, which carries on for 12, 13 episodes, I can't remember how many. And it's pretty good misanthropic fun. Up until the last arc, where I think it hits the wall of the material it's adapting.
Mm-hmm.
Where, yeah, it just tries to be, it has to be, I don't know, sort of sentimental and slightly cute and cloying. And I think it even fights against that for the first half of the arc, but just can't quite get over it, and that left me with a bad taste. But I presume they're probably going to come back and do some more at some point in the future, and I'll still come on board for that. But
once they get tired of making more Gintama,
yeah, and this is, they're barely doing any of that either. If you look at the schedule, most of it's reruns at the moment.
I'm enjoying those too, actually. This is one of my honorable mentions. It's really funny, and I think it does sentiment right when it's primarily trying to be funny. But when it's primarily trying to be sentimental, I'm not really sold on it.
I've just seen some reactions to those two arcs and people saying they prefer the version of Momji who appears in those last two episodes. And I'm like, really? Because I don't think the people making the show preferred that character.
No.
Because it seemed they were going out of their way to take the mickey out of that, at least to begin with in that arc. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it sort of resets itself a bit at the end, so you can get back to the usual funny gags when it returns. Right, Bradley, what's next on your list?
Number 5 on my top 5 of 2012 is Aquarian Evol, which is a giant robot show from, I believe, winter 2012, actually. And it ran for 2 core. It was a huge surprise, how much I liked it, how ambitious it kind of was, how darn funny it really was, and how occasionally just outright epic it was. I don't think anyone really saw this coming, in part because, the director, and I forget his name. I should know this offhand since I like Mecha.
Shoji Kawamori. Yeah.
Yes. The man behind Macross, among other many things. And he's kind of, I think most people have considered him to be on the downturn for a while, even though he's still been active in the industry. And they would probably consider the prequel to Evol which was just Aquarian, to be part of that downturn. And I think he got good because he embraced the madness that has been bubbling under everything he's ever done. And he put that front and center, and it became awesome. In this series, it takes place about 10,000 years after the first series, so you don't really need to actually see the first series. There is another reality that is invading the current reality with their giant robots, and they're kidnapping women and taking them back. And it is up to this special school to stop those invasions and protect the citizens of their Neo-Venezia-like town. It is awesome because it has, like, the characters are great. It has a really specific sense of humor that I don't want to describe because that would kind of spoil the fun of it, if that makes any sense.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, and just watch the darn thing. It is, it's epic, it's funny, and occasionally it gets emotionally involving.
How much environmental preaching goes on in it? That's what people that's what people tend to want to know from a Shoji Kawamori show at the moment.
No. Not a lot. It is clearly an element, but he doesn't really pound it in, so.
Yeah, it does, that does tend to, I think that was the thing specifically which turned people away from it. Was it Earth Angel Juna?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the boy which did it, I think. That's what broke people's backs. Yeah, I remember seeing some of the first show. I think the problem it had at the time is it came along at a time when a lot of people had already done a lot of the things it tried to do.
Mm-hmm.
So some of its gags and some of its sort of puncturing of robot ideas had already just been done a couple of years ago by other shows, so it's like he kind of out the gate a little late on this, even though it was perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I might be interested in going back and watch the old one as well, sort of separate from having just watched Godenar or things like that.
For what it's worth, Evol also kind of rewrites the story of the first one, because Mary Okada, who writes the script for this series, apparently heard some of the ideas that they had for the first series that they decided not to implement because they were too crazy, and she said, "Wait, guys, you don't know what you're doing. I'm going to add this anyway." So she does some neat things.
Okay, Anthony, what's on your list next?
Well, I feel my list is redundant now that people are allowed films in there, but mine is a top list of shows, so films, totally irrelevant. Next is a show that nearly left me disappointed, and then after I kept watching it, it redeemed itself a lot. And that is actually, I don't know what other people think of it, and I don't care, and that's Psycho Pass.
I've not watched a second of it, so I cannot tell.
I've seen a fair amount of it.
What do you think? Well, I like it because I feel as though it's as close as I'm going to get to Standalone Complex without it being Standalone Complex.
Yes, it's not really popular on its own merits, is my theory. Mm. People really, really want a good science fiction action anime, and we just haven't gotten that. This, I feel, it just explains too much. It explains way too much, and it spends too much time doing it.
It is wordy at times, which is...
And it's also leaning pretty heavily on what I think are some fairly well-established science fiction tropes. yeah. So it doesn't really stand out on its own.
I just think, obviously it's still not finished, still ongoing, so I don't know how it's going to end or what it's going to lead to, but...
Yeah, I could see it getting really good.
Yeah, I wanted to, and that's why... Obviously, I stuck with it because I felt quite let down by the second episode, and then I kept with it, and it seems to be, you know, it's almost finding its own feet, which does mirror a lot of Standalone Complex stuff, but that's why it's good. So, don't fix a ticking clock. Which
I'm going to go with Poyo Poyo as my next choice.
Yay.
The only show from last year's winter season that I watched, and I've carried on watching it the entire year, and
I hope it just keeps going.
It may well do. I don't think anyone's announced any streaming yet, have they, for the winter, but when we're recording this at least. When you're listening to this, I suspect you'll know whether Puyo Puyo is continuing. but the previous series, he and Akitaro Daiichi is directing it, and I can't remember the woman's name, who's the animation director. But they did Kuroneko between them, which was similarly short and humorous and cat-based, and that ran for 2 years. So fingers crossed that Puyo Puyo runs for 2 years.
Okay. And I hope so. It's been so good to...
Yeah, I know there's stuff they've not got to yet, like Puyo's family are yet to show up.
Oh. And how many episodes... What episode is it on to now?
Oh, today I think it's episode... got it open. 49.
Bloody hell. Which is... Anyone really good at maths who can work out how long that would take you to watch in one sitting?
Oh, a day.
Yeah, to be honest, like, it's... Yeah.
Oh, not even that.
Not long at all.
A couple of hours, I think.
3 hours, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably a bit less.
I mean, it would be exhausting to do it. But it'd be doable.
Well, if... It is on Crunchyroll, and I think if Crunchyroll had a better queue system, which I mentioned on Twitter, where basically if it would queue the next thing up and then launch it in full screen, I could do it in one sitting. But because I'd have to get up out of my seat to full screen it again... I would find that very annoying.
Yeah, it'd be less than, annoying. It would be less than 3 hours to watch the entire show. So.
That's awesome. But yeah, cue that up, full screened, and you can easily do it. Because it is good.
And related to that, but not on my list, would be Kamisama Kiss, which is Akitaro Daiichi's other show, which also has the same lead as Puyo Puyo, assuming that you're not counting Ikuo Otani as the lead during Puyo. Puyo's villains. Yeah, though I will say Puyo Puyo and Ikuo Otani has the best line reading I've seen on a show all year. With the episode where Mo dreams that Puyo's an alien and that Puyo's returning to his home world. And there's... Oh, I can't do it justice. Maybe I'll edit it in. But yeah, there's a really great line when Puyo's speaking English. I don't know where... I know on Kuroneko they recorded the dialogue first and then animated. Because they were basically just using the comic strips as the storyboards. So I don't know whether they're doing the same on Puyo Puyo. But that was the scene which made me think maybe they were, just because the animation matched the sound of the voice so well. Right. Bradley, what's next on your list?
Lupin the Third, The Woman Named Fujiko Mine. A really, really ambitious anime, and I think it more or less met those ambitions. I thought this was something I was going to love going into it, and I even tried, to episodically blog it. I stand by my initial analysis that I think the ending is a little weak, but everything else about it is really strong. It is... visually really good, even if the animation is limited. It has a great story underpinning it. The ongoing story is really good, but there's all sorts of fantastic episodic stories in there as well. I think it adds a new perspective and a new twist on many of the Lupin characters that is really fresh, but also familiar at the same time. It's a fantastic show. You should definitely watch it, even if you're not interested in Lupin. And it's probably the best feminist thing to come out from anime in a long, long time.
Not Chupra.
I've got to watch this. This is...
Sorry.
What did you say?
I said not Chubra.
Oh, no, not Chubra. No, that's not on the list.
Oh, it was the most feminist thing to come out with, yeah, because that's almost entirely female creative team as well. But somehow people didn't proclaim that as being great.
That's because they actually looked at the content this time.
I am actually tempted to go back and watch Chubra, because I hadn't realised it was the, I think it's like script consultant type role was, God, I can't remember his name now, the Gurren Lagann writer.
Really?
Kamen Rider 4's writer, because I've liked everything else he's written.
Is that all it takes?
Well, yeah, the problems I had with Chubra weren't necessarily the problems everyone else was having with it, but...
I mean, I can kind of see how you can enjoy the concept because it's so ridiculous. It's just that it will creep me out.
Yeah, I mean, that is the problem. It's like still slightly creepy, even though it was the comic was written by a woman, it's directed by a woman, the script's written by a woman. There's loads of female animators on it, but yeah, it's still kind of creepy.
What's the premise of that?
It's one of, okay, it's like a bra club.
Oh gosh,
if I remember.
And there is one girl who has a special gift for knowing what bras other schoolgirls need.
Yeah,
she is a bra genius.
As I pointed out when I reviewed the first episode on my website, is that if you wrote it as a shoujo comic, there'd be absolutely nothing wrong with it as the concept.
Oh, I would love it as just kind of a rudely animated gag show. By rudely animated, I mean not moe. Maybe character designs that are closer to some of the sillier designs you see for shorts now.
I don't know. There is some of that in. There is the thing in the first episode with the breasts with faces on.
I was going to say, is this not even a comedy?
It's a comedy.
It is a comedy. Oh, right.
But yeah, you just got to sort of, how much creepiness can I take to get through to the laughs?
I'd really like some abstraction that removes the child pornography aspect of it. And then I could probably dig it.
But yeah, I think people went in a little hard about it without actually, as they did a lot, I think around that time people were going really hard on the shows without actually sort of examining the source matter and...
Oh, they just only did that then.
Oh, I think people are a little better now.
You think so?
I don't think there's as many shows which people go quite as crazy on, perhaps because they aren't as quite as many crazy shows. I mean, I didn't see any people getting outraged over Goku Geo. And that is, in terms of material...
I think they got tired of being outraged.
That's probably true. But it was hard to watch as well, as in find it to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the other issue as well. It wasn't being streamed anywhere.
Like also, Goku Geo was good, so...
That is true.
Tubra sounds awesome. No, I'm listening and browsing. I'm going to have to watch it because I feel I've got to do it justice.
I tell you what, if you do an episode of Dynamite in the Brain, I will guest on a Chubra episode.
I don't think that's likely to happen. I think we've probably got almost every episode lined up now at this point with people coming back on my list of things to do.
I might fall in love with this show.
Well, but you can do it as a watch you watch then in a future date.
Oh yeah, we'll dedicate a big section to that.
Okay, Anthony, what's next on your list?
Let me scroll up, because I set my mind. My next one was actually Polar Bear Cafe. Just because. I'll imagine it's going to be on both of your lists.
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, it was next on my list.
So it's third for you, and Bradley was a third for you?
Higher.
Ooh. But yeah, this is just hilarious. It took me by surprise. It was on my list to watch, I think, when we were doing a preview. And I was surprised how much I liked it and just fell in love with every character in the show. The characters are just what sells the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
It's a really smart sitcom.
Yeah. And I would love to see a little live-action version of this. Someone should make it. I don't know how, maybe get...
If they do, I want the cheesiest animal costumes they can find.
They can reuse the one from the Ranma Half live-action.
See, that people would watch it. If they did, some weird, bizarre alternate reality episode for this and they had people in costumes, it would be fantastic.
Oh, I could see them doing that. That might be a thing.
I'm onto something.
That is a good idea. I approve.
But yeah, I as a sitcom, but also the fact that it knows how much material to use. So sometimes, most of the episodes are sort of half and half. So one story in the first half, one story in the second half. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll split them up and put a sketch thing in the middle and the fact that they can just do an entire story without using any of the ostensible main characters in.
Mm-hmm.
As well, which I don't think you'd actually see any other sitcom doing. But I'm a big fan anyway of the sort of 10-minute format for telling a story. Mm-hmm. And I am actually pleased that that's sort of become a thing in America as well through Adult Swim. Because that's almost an ideal amount of time to tell a comedy story, more than perhaps 22 minutes are.
I could see that.
I think it deserves a lot of creative credit, this show. just how well it's just all structured. It's just from any point of view, whether it's a film, I think people should take lessons from this if they want to do their own shit. So yeah.
Yeah, because there's so many things. I love the second opening. The fact that it is almost feels like a reward for watching the first 26 episodes by just cramming so much stuff you like from the show. To the extent of almost, and also cramming in segments of the first opening into the second opening. I think it's the first time I've seen characters in an opening watch another opening.
I love the song that's the second opening. I was probably the only person in the entire world who thought the opening for the first opening was weak. I think the description I used is it's elevator electronic music.
Oh, it grew on me to the point that I caught myself dancing to it while I was doing some cooking.
Oh no, Brian, please have standards. And your standards should be something like, that second opening? Perfect. Perfect music for the show.
I
love whoever's doing the vocals for that. They just nailed.
I think it's a band called Clambon, if I remember correctly.
I love the band sound. It's good.
Yeah, there's a remix video on YouTube, which is also animated, but nothing to do with Polar Bear Cafe. It's sort of like an abstract animation.
Okay.
Which is pretty sweet. I was dancing like Polar Bear was in the opening credits to Bamboo Scramble. It got me eventually.
Were you wearing a flat cap as well?
I was. I haven't started wearing a flat cap yet. Maybe when I start going bald, I'll do that. That tends to be when you start wearing caps all the time. People who wear caps all the time are secretly bald.
The thing is, surely wearing a hat of some sort doesn't do your hair any good anyway.
I don't know. I'm neither a haberdasher or a whatever a doctor is who looks after hair. Is there such a thing? A cuticle-tician, maybe?
Possibly, yeah.
I'm sure they'll make anime about it eventually. Yeah, so that was going to be my third, so I'm going to switch something else in.
Oh, I don't like this freedom of speech, this freedom to break the rules.
I'm going to go...
You know what? I'm going to do the same thing. Yeah.
Tag it in, making the tag to Polar Bear Cafe. In comes JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
No.
Yeah.
That was what I was going to tag in.
No.
Good pick. Good pick. All right, so I know you're going to talk about Phantom Blood in another podcast that I may or may not guest on.
Yes.
But it is a good show, yes. Let me be a Debbie Downer a bit by saying I still feel like this could have been so much better.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, you're right. But I think in terms of what they've got, they make the best use out of it.
Yeah, I agree.
They're obviously working with a minuscule budget.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in terms of color, pacing, layout, use of music.
I disagree with the pacing. Everything else I agree with. I think that they move so quickly that, fights don't really have any weight to them.
Yeah, I suppose, but I'm just happy to have something moving at a faster pace for a change.
Yeah, I can see that.
Having to skip, where a show hasn't extended its opening credits to 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes in order to eat more of the running time out up. One Piece.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it's going for the land speed record of shonen adaptations. But yeah, I'm not a Yes fan, but
oh, that ending theme is fantastic.
The way they use it, the way they start it in some episodes before the credits start running, and matching it up with what's going on screen is great. And I like Ario Speedwagon. I know people that naysaying him. I just like his ridiculous. I like the fact that he has his own internal monologue going on.
What's not the
like? I see everybody I know loves Ario Speedwagon. They think he's just fantastic because he has that internal monologue.
This is when he went to see him in the hospital. He was like, sort of writing the story in his own head, and then a different story is being told. He went, oh yeah, I like this story.
It's so blatant. It's great.
Yeah, so JoJo's.
I was disappointed by this in the end. I'm still watching it and I still enjoy it, but I think it almost starts unbelievably good. Because I was like, just suck right in. And then And as Bradley said, it doesn't have much weight to it. It doesn't feel... Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that statement. And I think that's why I somewhat feel this missed out on my top five list.
Okay, since you said that, I have a theory now. You and I are expecting it to follow the pacing of a Shonen Jump show, which always takes an episode or two to resolve fights.
I like the pacing, but at the same time, it almost feels sometimes too quick. And I don't know, it almost covers the wrong things at times in depth, too much depth. I don't know. Oh, I still like it. Don't get me wrong. And I love
I think some episodes were just perfect. Don't change a thing. The episode where Dio figures out how the mask works, that is a fantastic episode. Perfectly paced. Everything works great. But I think the story arc where they're going to the village is really shaky, including the showdown with Dio.
What, where they fight the two... I can't remember
yes, Tarkus and the guy who gives him pluck and luck.
That's right, yeah.
The other reason I like it is I've got a stack of JoJo's AMVs and Mads that I've not been able to show at Madstravaganza. Now finally people will understand them.
JoJo's outfits are unbelievable.
I love them.
I don't know what possesses the... Oh.
I can't wait till JoJo's comes to my country now.
That is true, yes. You're into the... from what little I've seen of it, it looks like some sort of really hyper-masculine version of Will Eisner or something.
That sounds so good. I can't wait.
So do you want to stick with JoJo's as well, Bradley? You're going to tag something else in?
Oh, actually, JoJo's wasn't going to make the top five. Oh, okay. That was my tag in for my number two, because Polar Bear is my number two.
Okay, you're
my number three is something neither of you are probably going to list. It's Fate Zero, which got the second half this year. Fantastic series. It has been a long time since I've enjoyed a drama anime so much. I've always felt like Fate Stay Night had a really good idea at its core. That was never really brought out in the anime adaptation or the visual novel. And I'm glad that Gin Urobuchi was able to take the parts about Fate Stay Night that are good, which was the game, the idea of historical figures being transplanted to the modern day as mystical warriors, and you have to figure out who they used to be able to exploit their weaknesses, so on and so forth. He took all that, and then instead of having children play the game like Fate Stay Night does, it's a bunch of adults, a bunch of very cynical, often broken adults, who are very good at lying and deceiving and actually use guns against each other. It just makes for an immensely cool series. I was... astounded also by how well he developed the characters. There are new perspectives that I came away with for some of the characters in the original series that I thought were more or less finished with. Saber in particular, I think, gets some really good development that also has some pretty thoughtful things to say about authority, who wields it, and how they wield it, and why that's important. Overall, it's just a really fantastic series. My only complaint about it is that if you want more after that, all you've got is Fate Stay Night. Blah.
Yeah, was that, did that have the film? What was the, there was some Fate film I did not watch.
Right, so, the visual novel Fate Stay Night actually has three story branches. The TV series is an adaptation of one of the branches. The movie is an adaptation of another. Unlimited Blade Works is what it's called. There's a third branch that maybe eventually they'll adapt. It would kind of make sense for them to do it because one of the villains in Fate Zero is a key villain in that story arc. This would also kind of give them the chance to give that to Brainspace and let them fix what JC Staff fucked up.
Boy, it sounds like being a fan of this sounds like a lot of hard work.
It is. I quite dig Type Moon in general, actually. I think that Type Moon has generally gotten better with time and with better studios adapting their work. but they come up with really good ideas that just, if the execution is right, it can be immensely entertaining.
So it was UFO Table did this, was it?
Oh, yes. I think so?
Yeah. Yes, it is, yeah.
Okay.
I used to like them a lot up until, well, I think for about 3 shows and 1 episode of something.
Okay, I thought it was Brainspace who adapted this, but okay.
No, it was UFO Table.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Decoder and Ninja Nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I liked the first episode of that Futakoi alternative before it turned into some sort of twin fetish thing. And that was about it, I think, for what I liked of them.
And I remember respecting UFO Table too. I don't know if the reasons I forgot that they existed are the same as yours, but... anyway.
Anthony, what's next on your list?
Yes, well, I'm sorry to steal another show off Brian's list, but next on my list, at number 2, is Sword Art Online. Is this on your list, Brian?
No.
Brian, come... No, I meant Anthony. Come on, man.
It didn't even appear on my list of things I actually watched, I'd watched.
I bloody well love this show. Honestly, I cannot stress how much I like this. I could just marathon this till forever. Oh, if you don't know the initial premise, which I'm going to go into a bit spoiler territory here, I don't care. Basically, they're in a game. The game, find out if you die in the game, you die in real life. Great. But it goes about halfway through what's been released so far, maybe 12 episodes in or something. They finish the game and... you think the characters both die. Spoilers. Right? You think they're dead. And then anyway, they wake up, and then there's another game that comes out, which, don't get me wrong, they're not actually stuck in there till death. You can die in this game without any problems. So automatically I was kind of like, well, this is going to go crap because there's no peril, there's no fear of death. It's just going to be people playing a game. But somehow it manages to make this pointless world still work as a kind of, you actually care the outcome of what's going on in the game. And basically the main character, he meets a girl in the game that turns out to be his sister in the real world. And it's, I think it's building on something that was never, is something that I never even thought they would go into, which is a bit more substance than people stuck in a game, playing a game to survive and not die.
Okay, well, that review has made me decide what 2003 TV show we're watching the first episode of.
Is what? Oh, no. Dot Hack?
Oh.
Yes, Dot Hack. Legend.
Good.
Legend of the Twilight.
Have I shot myself in the foot here?
You were going to want to shoot yourself in the eye when you're done.
You know what? I was going to go onto this show anyway. So Brian is saving me time and thought and just go and do it. So, and I'm going to love it. So I'm going to make us watch the second episode as well.
Yeah, because there's so many TV shows in 2003, rather than what we did last year in doing that, dedicating an episode to a TV show. Mm-hmm. Each week.
New feature.
Yes, new feature. It's the Retro Weekly Round Recap.
Oh, interesting.
So I start off next week with Legend, Hack.Hack, Legend of the Twilight Bracelet, if I remember its correct title. So we'll watch the first episode of that and talk about it next week. And then if we both like it, want to see the second episode, the following week we'll watch the second episode of it. However, if one of us says, no, that's it, I tap out, I can't watch this anymore, then the other person, the person who didn't choose that show, gets to pick the next show we watch from 2003 the following week.
Interesting. Okay.
And so
it gives us free time. It gives us time to maybe watch other shows.
Yes. And so, if we find a show we both like, then maybe we watch the entire series.
Interesting. Okay. I like that idea.
So, yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, Sword Art Online, bang, number 2. And I don't think I'm the only one who this shocked and people fell in love with. I think this is a lot more popular than...
I've seen a lot of people falling out of love with it on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
I have as well, but I've also, like... when Kotaku writes about it and goes like, hey guys, anime is smart and fun again, here's this Sword Art Online show, I realize that this has like some mainstream appeal that isn't working for me. Mm-hmm. But this is probably going to be something I'm going to hear about for a while.
And see, the thing is, you might be able to, well, one of you might be able to shed a bit more light. When is this plan on ending? Because is the manga still ongoing? I don't know much about it beyond
It's based on a light novel series, actually.
Right, right.
And I don't know.
Because I would love to think this kind of continues a little further. Maybe they go into another game. And I don't know, it just makes me want to play an RPG, which is never a good thing, but it does.
I would admire it if it just kept on going into one game after another. If it just escalated that into ridiculous states.
There's a reason for them going into the second game, but the thing with like where the like creative kind of nod comes in is because it's a total different game. Like it's an RPG, yes, but it has a different mechanic than fly and stuff like that. So you get some nice flying scenes, some nice action in the skies, and it's good.
Yeah, obviously someone trapped inside a platform game for a change.
Oof, that sounds brilliant. Well, you never know the next game that to get trapped.
The next
in.
Mega Man TV show that might be.
Yeah, Sonar Online, number two.
Okay, my number two will be. Before I cheat on number one, my number two will be Suritama, which I just finished watching this morning. Oh, when you listened to this morning a few weeks ago. Which is the sci-fi fishing show by Kenji Nakamura of Trapeze and... Welcome to Urabu's Office, as I believe the now official English title is for that. And Mononoke. And I think it's a return to form after C.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than being about economics, it's about fishing.
Yeah, I want the one about economics. But I'm nuts. I did give this a few episodes, and I don't quite dig it yet, but I respect it, and it's something I'd like to finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's ticking a lot of boxes for me. It's got the ridiculous colour design, like colours bursting out of everywhere, but not in a garish sort of way. Despite that, it also feels very much of a location because I saw a blog somebody had done where they'd taken photos of the actual locations they've used in the show. But despite using real locations, they still look very cartoony. It's got the voice of Lum playing grandmother and thus making me feel extremely old.
I didn't need to know that.
She's playing older than she actually is, though, so that's
not
too bad. And also that ties in because she doesn't do much voice acting because she's actually heavily involved in the fishing industry.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, so that's sort of a bit of stunt casting, which ties in if you know that. The animation of panic attacks is absolutely fantastic, which I think...
What's a panic attack? In regards to this show?
Well, it's somebody having a panic attack.
Oh, right, I thought it was like a weird fishing special ability.
Somebody having a panic attack.
Oh, right.
And they just sort of visually represent a panic attack extremely well.
Oh.
As a visual metaphor. But also ties into the themes of the show when they do that. And it reveals itself to be like a single idea science fiction story later on. And sort of, so everything... which is happening is sort of expanded out from that one single idea, which I like as well in a sci-fi story. I don't want too much world building or anything. I would rather just have one idea dropped into a world I'm already familiar with.
Mm.
And it makes you hungry watching it as well in some episodes because the food is so well drawn.
I never bought into this. I never did watch any episodes, but... I promised myself I wouldn't because I remember you were really keen on it and I was like, nah, fishing is not cool. Fishing is not fun.
I've probably not watched the thing on the top of your list either, so if I'm guessing.
Oh, you haven't? You haven't? I know if I will, you haven't.
Jeez, I have no idea what could be Anthony's number one. Okay.
I'm going to guess it was the...
No, don't spoil it.
No.
I'll write it on a piece of paper here.
And you're going to hold it up to the airwaves, and I'm going to just know what he's wrote.
So that's me. Yeah, so, Bradley, what's next?
Right. Polar Bear Cafe is my number two. I'm going to tag in a series that I'm going to put it in because it's interesting, and I think more people should try it. Milky Holmes 2, which is the... Hang on! Don't run away!
I'm already gone.
I'm pretty sure I already talked about this everywhere else. Sometimes I think for late night anime, they just take like, oh, here's a property of like a pachinko game. Make an anime of it. What do you want us to do with it? I don't care. Just make an anime of it. Okay. So they do whatever they want. And the results when that happens tend to be entertaining. Milky Homes 2 is based on a series of Moe detective games that play their concept really straight. Milky Homes 2, however, takes it and twists it and makes it really, really grotesque. It has a sense of humor that really likes to gross people out. So it's kind of like Ren and Stimpy in that sense. Yes, I just compared an anime to Ren and Stimpy. And part of the reason that I think that gross sense of humor works is because the character designs are so take the idea of Moe so far that it ends up coming back around and ends up looking really gross. The whole anime, I use the term gross often, it just undercuts Moe in general with what I think are some fairly clever ideas. And it just takes the whole, it takes everything that's popular about cute girls doing cute things and makes it grotesque. It is a really good riff, on a really popular trend right now that I like and occasionally enjoy. And I like seeing it do that. I think it's something more people should check out, especially if you don't like cute girls doing cute things and think it's something that you would like to see ribbed effectively.
Yeah, I should probably check it out, because one of the characters is voiced by Suzuku Mimori, who does Mo on Puyo Puyo, and she's Nanami in Kamisama Kiss, and she's also in Tikyo, I see, as well.
For what it's worth, don't watch the first season.
Okay, I won't. I
understand they more or less play it straight.
Yeah, I think I've seen some of the first season to know not to watch the first season. That's probably put me off watching the second. But I'm perfectly okay with this existing because it goes some way to funding New Japan Pro Wrestling, because it's owned by Bushiroad, and Bushiroad bought out the majority share of New Japan Pro Wrestling based off the money they've made from things like this and Cardfight Vanguard, so.
Man, I would really like to just read an interview with the director and the staff who worked on the show, like, how much creative control they had, what they were thinking as they were making this, because I don't know how much of this is spite, how much of this is, well, we just wanted to see what would happen if we did this. How hard are they trolling, or what? What's going on here? How is this a thing that happened? Anyway.
See, I watched an episode of this after Bradley was on about it in the past. I forget which season or which series it was. I just know it was on Crunchyroll. And to be honest,
I've talked about it on other podcasts.
Oh yeah, I know you love this thing. And to be honest, if I could speak Japanese or somehow, I don't know, connect myself to some subtitles which I'd automatically understand without looking at them, I would love to have this on in the background. I would love to be like playing a game or something and just dive in and out of this, because part of us just hated it and part of us kind of liked it, so. And enough of me liked it and found it bizarre enough to kind of maybe give it a chance. Maybe. But number two? Ooh.
No, it's not my number two.
I was
like tagging, I said,
yeah, it was Polar Bear Cafe. This is number two.
This tagging rule. I don't do.
Well, just wait till you get to my number one. You're really going to get even more annoyed.
I've got a feeling, and I'm going to be very annoyed. I am. It's boiling my piss at the moment.
Anyway, what's your number one, Anthony?
Well, I was fond of this before I saw it. I just knew it was going to be great. I watched it, and I watched it every week. I was never behind on this show. Not because there's that many episodes to fall behind on, really, but it is Kids on the Slope.
Okay.
Did anyone else predict that? Was that what you predicted, Brian?
That's what I was predicting, yes.
Good.
I didn't predict that.
I love this show, and I'm going to rewatch it. And when this comes out on DVD, I'm going to buy it, because I want to watch it dubbed. I want to watch it subbed. I want to rewatch it dubbed. I just think it's great. It's everything I wanted it to be. The characters, basically, kid moves to a new school. He gets friendly with these two kids, and they grow up, and they kind of spend this time playing instruments together, and you know, it's a slice of life, and it's damn interesting. A lot of people didn't like the ending, but I would have loved to have known how else it could have been ended that didn't come to some form of closure. So I really like it, and I will stand by the fact that I called this to be my top show, and it is the best show.
Did it get you to check out any jazz?
Well, I did download some of the music, because it's obviously, they do play real jazz, and they do mention a lot of stuff early on more than later on, and I downloaded some, and it did make me want to watch Beck. I know it's not really jazz, but, you know, the whole musical instruments in a TV show, it kind of just really appealed to me, and I'm not musically minded, I listen to music, but I can't bloody hold a note, as you'll see in the Christmas episode, which you'll have listened to at this point, I hope. But yeah, I bloody love this show, and everyone should at least check out a couple of episodes. Like it or not, just give it a try.
I've seen it as well.
You've seen it all?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't like the ending, did you?
No, I was okay with the ending.
Right.
Good. I think the show overall is a little too typical of Josei drama for me to consider it one of my favorites this year. I was kind of disappointed that this is where the director of Cowboy Bebop, that this is where he has gone next.
Well, after watching the short he did, was it Genius Party 1 or 2? Or was it not even Genius? Which one was it?
I think it was in Genius Party 1, his thing.
He does the thing with these kids on a train, and that's almost like leads onto this. It's very similar, and it's just like, you know, don't go into this expecting Cowboy Bebop.
It's not that I was expecting Cowboy Bebop, is that this is a little too typical of what a lot of other anime does equally competently. In fact, I would say that Chihaya Furu from last year was a much better example of a good Josei show.
See, I just, maybe it's just because I've not seen enough of them, and I think maybe if I did maybe explore, it Possibly. May not be as high, and but I just think the characters are so... They almost felt like they were somewhat based on real people. I don't know, they had personalities, which to me, obviously, I watch a lot of US shows, and I did film at university, and I'm really into film, and it felt so well written, and it felt like the characters were just there. They were driving the story. There wasn't like some outlying force driving this story. It was those guys, and that's what I appreciated it about it. So.
Oh, it's absolutely a solid show. I don't want to take that away from it. I just don't. It's not something I would list on my top five for sure.
I just can't wait to rewatch it, and when it comes out, it will come out in DVD. I think. I hope. Will it or not?
Has
it been licensed?
I don't know. I'll have a look for
you. Well, better, because I would love this on Blu-ray.
Kids on the Slope.
Well, if nothing else, you've reminded me, Anthony, that I need to finish this post I'm working on.
The jazz.
Jazz to check out if you liked Kids on the Slope.
Well, I'm as excited for that post as I am for seeing this on Blu-ray.
Oh, there we go. Sentai Filmworks adds Kids on the Slope and Mysterious Girlfriend X. So you're in luck, Anthony.
This is
there you go.
Your two favourites.
This is my year.
So I guess there's a possibility that might get picked up in the UK.
Good. If not, I will import. I rarely buy DVDs. The last one I bought was Spice and Wolf, and I got burnt.
So. Oh, talking about getting burnt on DVDs, I just ordered Cyber City Oedo last night, and I spent far too much money on it.
How much was it? Because I've been...
I got stung on postage. Because it said free postage on the search on eBay, and then I just went merrily clicked through, and then I saw the final price, and I was like, "What? What?"
Free postage in the US, I guess,
or Australia, I think, because it's the Australian release I've ordered.
Was it the? Oh, because you can actually get a box set with Wicked City, Cyber City, and Demon City.
No, I'm good. Just
all right, fair enough. I'm just giving them options. Yeah, I'm a big Cyber City
fan. Sounds like a great... Oh, man, that's a great way to spend a Saturday night.
Oh, it really is.
Okay, my number one. Get ready to let the anger flow. I'm going for a double number one.
Ooh!
Going Letter to Momo and Wolf Children.
Yeah.
The double bill of single parents moving to the countryside.
I almost feel... Oh... Good choice, but...
Yeah, well, they are really good.
It would have been in my top five. Wolf Children anyway, so.
Yeah. If I had to pick one, I'd say Wolf Children, but I wanted to talk about Bimbo Gamigar, so I squeezed them both together. Yeah, Wolf Children is just the better film, as probably the box office taken in Japan indicates. But Letter to Momo just looks absolutely amazing and has the funnier jokes. The three demons in Letter to Momo are hilarious. And just like, I think when I first went to see it, I mentioned it's like my neighbor Totoro if the Totoros were dicks.
Oh, now I need to see this.
Because I mean, there's scenes which are almost like shots taken from Totoro. You think, boy, you've got balls. Just, I mean, this is a lot like Totoro, and you're just like aping shots from it. But the fact that it's so well animated and there's just gags aplenty, yeah, well worth going to see. And Wolf Children, I refer you back to episode 69.
Oh, it's so damn good.
It is so good. Yeah.
Have you seen it, Bradley?
No, I haven't. I listened.
Oh,
to
you're gonna love it.
We talked about it. Yeah, I'm sure.
You're gonna
love
it.
I'm sure I will. Yeah.
That's me. So, Bradley, what's your number?
All right. Can you all guess what my number one's gonna be?
Is it Joshiraku?
No, I actually haven't seen that. That's on my want to watch list.
I don't know. Can we have a clue? Because I can't predict.
It's a show for children.
Mm-hmm. Bottom biting book.
I thought about putting it on there, but then I thought, no, Brian will do that for me, and you didn't.
I didn't.
Cut me down. I was so sad. Okay, it's Smile Pretty Cure. I am surprised at how much I've been digging magical girl shows recently. I watched a good chunk of the old Pretty Cure earlier this year, and then I caught up on Smile Pretty Cure. It is such a consistently enjoyable show that really it's really, really smart about its writing in that it really handles episodic episodes well and consistently makes them interesting. It always adds a little twist or a little gag that takes what could have been a mundane Magical Girl episode and elevates it just enough to be really entertaining. It is really funny. It's got a whip smart sense of humor. And sometimes it has a tenderness to it that I wouldn't normally attribute to, a children's show. One episode has one of the Pretty Cures, crushing on a transfer student, from America, that I thought was just really well done. And on top of just having an episode where the message to the kids is, hey, it's okay to have a crush on somebody who doesn't look anything like you. I wish that that was something I saw more of. It's just a really good show, and I think it's more or less made me a Pretty Cure fan. I am hoping to watch some more of it. I hope Doki Doki next year is just as good. It just did everything right that I could have asked of it. And that's why it's my number one.
Hmm.
Well, we should be more on Pretty Cure in a later episode soon, as I make Anthony watch the very first episode of the very first Pretty Cure series.
That's also pretty good.
Among some other Magical Girl shows.
Exciting. I think we've made a pretty solid 15 there, you know. I mean, there's a few I would take out here and there. From other people's lists. But I do genuinely think it's a nice, well-rounded bunch of shows and films.
You know, if you have a variety of interest in anime this year, this was a really good year. I think a lot of people are kind of tied to the science fiction aspect or the action aspect of anime, so they tend to, their interest tends to ebb and flow as, however popular those shows are at the moment. Bad year if you like science fiction, I think. Bad year if you like fantasy. Good year if you like kids shows, shorts. If you're an otaku and like cute girls doing cute things, it's been a solid year. Good year, a very, very good year, actually, if you like shoujo or josei. And a very good year if you like Shonen Jump and fighting anime.
Yeah,
I think it's been... I'm looking at my list now and thinking back what I said last year about last year. I think last year had some good stuff, but I think I like these shows better than I liked the shows I liked last year, if that makes sense. Like, there was some really weak stuff this year that just did not, you know, tickle my fancy at all, whereas last year there was more stuff I would have been interested in, but they just didn't cut the mustard, whereas this year.
Yeah,
the good ones are great.
Yeah, I'm trying... things I didn't get around to talking about. Goku Geo.
Yes.
I think it's uneven when it hits its highs, though it's the funniest thing I saw all year. TQ, which I really liked, so please you put me onto that, Bradley.
Oh, you're welcome. No, I'm really glad you like it.
It is just ridiculous. I mean, it's the editing. It has funny jokes, it has funny drawings, but the editing is the thing which is the key. It's like people on reviewing it on Crunchyroll say, I'd like it more if it was slower. No, it would not be as good if it was slower. The fact it's going at a breakneck speed is part of the appeal. Yeah, bottom biting bug. Yeah, it's 5 minutes on a Sunday morning, so I enjoy it. It has a nice logic to it. And there was almost hints of Sakuga showing off this morning, but not quite.
Oh man, there is some good animation for that cartoon. Way better than a cartoon for 5-year-olds ever deserved.
I mean, the opening is just fantastic.
Oh, isn't it?
Even though it's like 5 seconds, but it's great. Joshi Raku, I had to tap out, because it was just far too many puns, even for me. But I like, it's kind of like, if I could find the third of it I liked each episode, I'd be happy watching that third, but. There you go. Tank and Dryland. I've just sort of started watching that again. Well, Tank and Dryland, I think it might actually be pronounced. Which is the super deformed fantasy show. Which I think is... I would guess, I've not double checked, but I think it must be produced by the same guy who did... this is in terms of producer rather than director or anything else, but... God, what's it called? Marion Galley. And I suspect it's involved... Well, actually, I know he did this. It's the French thing they're doing next year. That French magical girl show.
Oh, Ladybug.
Yes. That I don't know.
That trailer was amazing. I can't wait to see that.
But if you'd like to look at that, I'd suggest at least taking a look at Tank and Dryland, because it has sort of a similar visual sensibility to it in terms of design and colour, though it's selling some sort of mobile phone dungeon game.
Okay.
Yeah, Fujiko, I've not got far enough into to put it on a list of any kind. Though I've liked what I've seen so far. And similar with, Dan Ball Senki W. But yeah, I mean, Dan Ball Senki W is, I've mentioned it in a previous episode, but the fact that does well and other robot shows don't do well kind of tells you that maybe robot shows in the form that people knew them in the 80s really cannot exist anymore.
Or exist in the form of just selling it to the adults.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I kind of think giant robots need some rethinking. So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, I see how Gyro Zeta does as well. I'm not sure how. But as that didn't show up in my... It's been out a while. I guess that's not doing super well either. But Gyro Zeta just seems like it also might be made by perverts.
Those damn perverts.
Yeah, money-saving perverts, as Grace pointed out on the Azumanga Daioh episode, but perverts nonetheless. Because there's a few of those shots in Gyro Zeta as well.
Oh.
In terms of films, obviously the stuff I talked about, we talked about on the Leeds episode. The only other thing, which I think was actually a 2011 film, but I did finally remember what it was called. I looked it up, was The Princess and the Pilot, which was terrible. Don't go watch that.
Oh, that thing that you watched and you just could not remember the name of?
Yes.
Oh,
wow. The other thing I watched this year...
Oh, when I was talking about that movie, Tales of Apfenland, was it? Is
yeah,
that what
I think so.
Remember?
I think that was it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, I know I saw another film that I've seen at the moment, but I can't recall what it was. But yeah, Princess and the Pilot. It's not bad, it's just completely unrememberable.
Okay.
Anything else on your... notable mentions, Bradley?
Oh, yes. I'm enjoying Chunibyo from the current season. This is Kyoto Animation's new romance story based on a light novel about a girl who believes she has superpowers, like in some kids and like in some teenage anime that I've seen. I think it's a fairly smart show that does a good job of making their characters more than just otaku stereotypes, which I think people associate too much with KyoAni's work. I also enjoyed Folktales from Japan. I already mentioned that. I'm enjoying From the New World. Just going down alphabetically here. I enjoyed Another, which is a... How many good horror anime are there? I could probably count on one hand how many are straight-up horror, and I thought were really good. And Another turned out to be one of those.
That's another Mizushima one, isn't it?
Yes, he directed that as well. A part of the reason that I thought Mizushima was the quote-unquote primary author, so to speak, of Bloodsea was because for the ending of Another, he took what was already a fairly bloody ending in the novel and cranked it up to absurd heights that people who had read the novel just went, what the fuck? I think it all works very well together. And it has several twists in it that I think actually make sense. And I can't say that for a lot of horror stories. I enjoy, let's see, what else? From the New World, which is currently airing and could also kind of count as a horror story. It's difficult to tell. But it's directed by the guy who did Catherine Sins. So it's a very melancholic type of anime based on a novel, an honest-to-goodness novel, not a light novel. Very dark. I'm not sure where it's going, but it's a dystopic future where humanity has evolved to have psychic powers and animals have also evolved to be extremely strange. And there are mysterious happenings in the past of this world. Fairly well animated as well. I like the look of it. I am shocked by how much I'm enjoying Girls in Panzer. I think everybody is shocked by how much they're enjoying Girls in Panzer.
I have to say, I could not get past the character designs, unfortunately.
See, I remember you saying you were going to watch an episode of this.
I watched the first episode, yeah, and I really liked the opening shot and the closing shot. But I was like, I just can't get past those character designs. If it was... Like I said, I think eventually the writer is going to just do a series where there is no girls at all. It's just military hardware having adventures. if it was just the tanks, I'd be fine.
I love his expertise in this. That really adds another layer of enjoyment to it because he will have the girls do things that apparently, like, this is how you really operate a tank. Like, if you want to communicate to the driver which way you want the tank to go, you kick them in the shoulder. If you want to go left, you kick them on the left shoulder. You want to go right, you kick them on the right shoulder. Apparently, that's just faster than yelling at them, which I guess kind of makes sense because it's loud in a tank. Anyway, it's just a very nice mix where the cute undercuts, like how terrible this idea actually is to have girls go out and reenact basically wars in a sport where they shoot each other with tanks. But don't worry, nobody ever actually gets hurt in the sport. God damn, it's just so much fun. Mizushima, he's such a good director, and I hope he sticks around for a while. He's been consistently turning out good stuff, though people will disagree with me because of Bloodsea, but whatever.
I don't think there's anything wrong with his direction of Bloodsea. I just think the problem is more the script.
Yeah, I could see that.
Particularly that last episode. I think the Grand Guignol, or however you pronounce it, Guignol, I think that's all him, but... I think the ideas behind it are definitely still whichever lady from Clamp was writing it.
Yeah.
Because obviously they've worked with him before on Holic because he directed all that, so I suspect.
I need to check out Holic sometime.
I've not seen all of it, but what I've seen I've quite liked because he's got that Sam Raimi thing, and the main character in Holic goes through a lot of the sort of the things Sam Raimi will put Bruce Campbell.
Oh, okay.
Well, he added his added advantage that he's got super long limbs, so you can make it even more physical and cartoony.
Let me try and finish this up real quick. I'm enjoying the new Hayate the Combat Butler. Hayate fans are displeased with it. I think there's a grudge with how poorly the second season went, but that was a different studio. They didn't like Manglove's handling of a movie that they released a couple years back. I think it's to their detriment that they're not watching this one. It's been a while since I've seen a show that had a fairly good mix, such a good mix of comedy and drama. Hayate I've always liked as a comedy, never really liked the drama. This one actually balances the two of them fairly well and adds some color and depth to the characters, that to a couple of the characters that wasn't there before. Kamisama Kiss is good. My guess is that if we're going to talk about a series well past 2012, it's probably going to be Kamisama Kiss and Sword Art Online. I think that's going to do well here in America. Kuroko's Basketball, I talked about that several weeks ago. Sengoku Collection is another one of those. Somebody was given complete control over an intellectual property, so they did whatever they want. This time, the writers had a lot of control over what they wanted to do, and out of it came a lot of interesting episodes. I think there's a lot of mediocrity in the series, but it's worth working through as a kind of grab bag of interesting ideas, some of which work, some of which don't. And all of which shows that there's still a lot of talent in the anime industry. We just often don't, I feel we sometimes don't get to see it enough, but then again, I'm enjoying so much. So maybe everything's actually working. Maybe nothing is broken.
I think you're, I think possibly also sort of that talent spread very thin as well, though.
I could see that.
Possibly in terms of budget and number of episodes you can work on at a particular time.
The final thing I'll mention that hasn't been mentioned yet is something I'm surprised Brian didn't talk about. Thermae Rome?
Oh, I hated that. I won't I may talk about that.
Okay! Now, you hated it because the animation sucked and the jokes were repetitive, right?
I hated it because the animation sucked. I don't think I got far enough in to say whether the jokes were repetitive or not. I do not like Frogman.
Okay, I will agree with you on both counts, actually, if you agreed, even though you agreed with me on only one count. Those are my two problems with the show, but I still liked it just because the idea is so crazy.
Yeah, I should probably just pick up the comic instead. So I might have to deal with Frogman's art. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where I was like, why didn't Akitaru Daiichi direct this?
But that would have been great. Are we going to talk about disappointments next?
Well, yeah, after an honourable mention.
Oh, you got an honourable mention.
Honourable mention.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
And that is One Stormy Night.
Oh, yes. I forgot all about that.
Like, I just think that not everyone forgot about that. I have seen first few episodes, and it is one thing that I'm disappointed that I didn't finish. But I'm going to finish, so it's great. And if you don't know what it is, basically, a wolf and a little goat meet one stormy night in a blackened little hut. And they become friends, and it's just them going around doing stuff that you'd expect a wolf and a goat to do, and then they get caught up with wolfy things and goaty things, and it's good.
Huh.
And I think it's very underrated, because I say underrated, it might be well received, but nobody seems to mention it, and it's a shame, because I really liked it.
Okay.
My honourable mention.
Disappointments were, yeah, Thermae Romae was the first disappointment of the year. then I would say Zetman.
Ooh, yes, forgot about that.
as covered in our Zetman episode. Yeah, I think they were caught between a rock and a hard place in that you can't adapt the comic for TV. So maybe they just shouldn't have bothered in the first place. And the other one has now just slipped my mind entirely. Gone. That's it. Yes. Gone.
I never did end up watching that in the end.
Yeah, very disappointing. If you've ever read the comic and you get that instead of what is in the comic, very disappointing.
No. My biggest disappointment, and I am a fool for sticking it out as long as I did, and that was Gundam Age. I thought I was missing something. I thought, this must be good. I mean, everyone's watched it. Like, I know Brian was watching it. Lewis was watching it. I just thought, well, this must be good, and I'm just missing something. And I stuck that out for around 11 or 13 episodes. Bigger fool on me for lasting that long, I think. I really disliked it, and I think such a letdown.
I disagree. I think the show was really good for a long time, and it's the ending that does that. Just, I'm a bit bitter about it.
Okay.
The funny thing is, like, it's 49 episodes long, right? 40 good episodes. 9 maybe bad episodes. And it, because the ending's bad, it just colors everything that came before it.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what the ending is, but the ending I thought it should have had should have been the three generational heroes just fighting each other, saying, "You're a bad parent. You're a bad grandfather."
That's kind of what happens.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, maybe I will like
kind
it.
Kind of. They do unite in the end, because it is, in the end, a children's show. But, like, there is some real conflict between the generations, and that's a central focus point of the final arc. I just don't think it's handled well.
Yeah, because once I got to the opening of the third arc, I was like, goodness gracious. I mean, there's a lot set up to get to the point, but you've got to be thinking at least as an adult at that point.
Mm-hmm.
That is one terrible grandfather.
Oh, the grandfather's terrible. The dad is really bad, too. It's just... Mm.
That is true, yes. The dad's pretty bad as well. But
I really like how they handled the grandfather, by the way. And I like... I think what Gundam Age actually is a commentary on how Gundam and giant robot shows have evolved over the since their inception, basically. And how it has matured and become... I think it's advocating for a position of non-violence that I don't think is appropriate for a giant robot show.
Yeah, I think you're. Yeah, I think that. Yeah, that was the impression I got moving into the third arc as well. It was kind of. It seemed to be saying something about Gundam that maybe people who like Gundam did not want to hear.
Exactly, it's a show that doesn't understand what has made. It's a show that does and doesn't understand what has made Gundam so good. So when it's Gundam during the G Gundam era, it's awesome. When it's Gundam during the original Gundam era, it's awesome. When it's referencing other really good Gundam tropes or giant robot tropes, it's great. And then it gets to, hey, you know what we think was our best Gundam? Gundam Seed Destiny.
You have to remember, though, people did not like Gundam, G Gundam when it first came along either.
Yeah, I know.
That's sacrilege for not being in the proper continuity and having robots which look like windmills.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I should be covering that because I've got 1994, so for the Golden Blog, whatever it's called, Golden Anniversary Blog.
Mm-hmm.
Really hard to pick 1994. That's one of the 1994 shows I've managed to pick. Even though
it'll be busy then. It's a long show.
Yeah, possibly. I've seen some of it before though, so.
Oh, so that's Brian's excuse to say I'm not even going to rewatch it.
Yeah,
quite. Is it?
Yeah, possibly. I need to do a minimum of 750 words, so. And I've probably got more to say about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1994 than I have actually any actual anime.
Of course you would.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to. Because that's the thing which was in the slot which Neon Genesis Evangelion took over the following year.
Interesting. Oh, goodness.
Any other disappointments? Or is that it? Is there anything else you watched? Bradley, you seem to cover most things.
Yeah, you know, I have like a list of 35 things that I watched, so I saw a lot. I'll mention two disappointments that were particularly hard on me. I was really disappointed by Kingdom. I've covered how I liked shonen fighting shows. This is a shonen fighting show in medieval China that draws inspiration from the Three Kingdoms. I like everything about that description I just gave you. It is a, I don't know if it's a bad adaptation of a really popular manga, or if the manga just isn't very good. I tell you what though, the animation is egregiously bad and inconsistent. It is the core reason why I didn't like the show, but it also doesn't help that even though it's a crazy fighting show, it's incredibly dry. I think nobody gave a shit about this. That's my theory. They handed it to a bunch of staff members who didn't really care. To try and give this some color and make it interesting. I was really disappointed by it. Poor Funimation. I hope they didn't pay a lot for it, because they're not going to get much back. I don't hear anybody talking about it ever, even when it aired. And the other disappointment was the new Leiji Matsumoto show, Azuma. 6 episodes long, I thought, wow, it's short, this will be great. Really dry again. Really forgetful. Even though it is kind of a crazy cartoon that has elements of Captain Harlock and Moby Dick and Dune all wrapped up in it, it is still somehow eminently forgettable.
That sounds like the best blend of things ever.
You would think so, right? Yeah. Nope.
Mm.
Nope.
Shame.
It has a badass female Captain Harlock. Oh, man.
Oh, I've looked at the director of Kingdom also did Penguin no Mondai, which was also CG. That was fully CG. Mm-hmm. And has a really great opening theme tune. But I suspect very different from Kingdom.
Kingdom was on my list as well, and I'm pleased I never did watch it.
Yeah, skip it.
I needed something on a list, and that potentially could have had fighting in it. So I thought, yeah, that's going in the list. I wish I'd watched. Like, is there stuff that you wish you had time to watch? Because I know that's on the notes. And
Fujiko.
I finished watching.
Yeah.
Space Brothers.
Yeah, Space Brothers as well. That's a good point.
Space Brothers is on my list as well.
So
let me just check my Crunchyroll.
Cues and what you've
my cues yeah, and what's still on episode list. Two. Oh, Bodacious Space Pirates.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's on my list as well. Oh, Humanity Has Declined is on my list as well.
Oh yeah, that would be on my list of things.
Humanity Has Declined. Oh, I didn't.
Oh, Jormungand. I forgot about that. Yeah, Jormungand is on my wish I watched this as well.
Yeah, Kids on the Slope. That's on mine.
I put Suritama on mine. I'll eventually get to that, I suspect. Daily Lives of High School Boys. AKB-0048, which I did not think I was going to like, and then Gerald of Anime World Order, the last person I would ever expect to recommend something like this, goes, hey guys, this is really good, if you say so.
Don't bother with Daily Lives of High School Boys. Don't bother.
You know what, enough people, you're the guy who likes Sword Art Online, so you're suspect already.
Well, if you ever go to watch Sword Art, which it may well happen.
May well, yeah.
You will change your tune.
You should probably just watch The Inbetweeners instead.
I should probably watch the Sakuga clips, yeah. And my last thing on my wish I watched is Waiting in the Summer, because I used to love the series Please Teacher, and I understand that this is very, very similar. I would like to see if that is something I would still enjoy.
Right, so...
Your game, Brian.
My game, yes, the game I've got put on episode 72. Here we go. It is another game of When Did People Care About? And so...
Who was that clapping? Was that Bradley or Brian?
Bradley. That was Bradley. Oh. I don't clap myself. Any clapping is always the guests. So you're the second person to clap.
I was going to start getting edited in and people are going to think, oh, the guest is loving
it. No, Grace was admittedly clapping herself, so...
I've listened to some of that episodes. It's a good listen.
It is. Yeah, so between 1997 and today, I shall name shows which started in their respective winter seasons, and you have to tell me what year they debuted. As an added twist, which actually makes it easier, I've only picked one show from each year.
Okay.
So once a year's gone, you can take that off the board.
Is right. there a time limit on the years?
Yeah, between 97 and today.
Okay.
Hit me.
Well, okay. Bradley can go first, because he's the guest.
Yeah.
All right.
Just want to double check what this is. Ah, here we go. Maria Watches Over Us.
Oh, which season?
The first season.
I remember when people used to give a toss about that. I think people still do.
I do.
I do. I do, at least. I love that show. All right. I'm trying to do some backwards math, because I'm fairly certain that the fourth season, which I never finished, was 3 years ago. That would be 2009. Assuming one season a year, I'm guessing it started in 2005.
Okay, Anthony, you want to steal it?
Right. I just want to check something. You know how you mentioned there's only one of each year?
Yes.
When we get the correct answer, can I write down that year?
Just yes, so you can. Know.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So what did Bradley say there?
2005.
Now, if you remember the math from the last...
It's the one after, isn't it? That's why I say 2006.
Incorrect.
The actual rule is, unless you actually guess it...
It's 2004.
Oh, I was...
Okay, Anthony, right. Here's yours now.
I'm writing that down.
Do ra 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 ra.
Oh, hell, that was...
Ra ra.
That must have been... I think I'm going to be too early, but 2009?
Bradley, chance to start.
2010.
You're correct, yes.
I was going to go with that, but then I thought, darn it.
Bradley, Wolf's Reign.
Ooh, that's a series people used to have a toss about.
Until the four episodes of recap, and then they shot.
And then, yep. 2000 and 0. I'm going to say 2000.
Anthony, chance to steal.
Oh, I was actually going to say him fall. 2003?
You're correct.
Yes!
Holy shoot! I didn't remember it from my 2003 list, or that would have been my first guess.
Anthony.
Yes.
Outlaw Star.
Oh, I've got this on DVD. Oh, 99?
Bradley, chance to steal.
Shoot.
2002.
1998. I knew it was in that region. I knew it.
Oh, I've been forgetting to write this down.
At the moment, we've got 04, 010, well, 10, and then 03 and 98.
Okay. Bradley. Nodami Cantabile.
Ah, that's a shoujo show about classical music. I want to watch that sometime. I'm going to say 2006 for the first season.
Anthony, chance to steal.
Oh, could you repeat the title again?
Nodami Cantabile. Oh,
that it 2006. That. 2005.
2007.
Mm.
Okay. Okay, Anthony.
Yes.
What's this one called in English? I'm sure it's got an English name. Here we go. And magical teacher Negima.
I think that's a 2005.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, Bradley. Full Metal Panic.
The first one.
Yep.
I'm going to guess 2000 again.
Anthony, chance to steal.
2003?
Nope.
Oh,
2002. You had 2003 already.
Have we? Mm-hmm.
You guessed it.
Oh, shit.
You stole that one from me.
I knew it was in that era. Well,
okay, Anthony. Eat Man, the first
Eat
series.
Eat Man. Let's look at the dates we've had. I don't know what that's... I really don't know what that is. 97.
Correct.
Damn.
As opposed to its sequel, Eat Man 98. Which I think I put in last time. Always fun to make you guess something where the answer's in the question. Okay, Bradley. Hatalia Axis Powers, the first series.
I'm pretty sure that's something... All right. Did we already do 2010?
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have. Okay. I was going to guess 2010. But... 20... No.
How many years have people been ironically dressing up as Nazis?
I know what season it's on.
2009 is my guess.
Correct.
Yeah,
right.
I would have said that.
Okay, Anthony, final one.
Oh.
Boogie Pop Phantom.
Oh, well, hold on. We haven't had... I thought you had one from each year.
No.
Damn it. if that's the case, 2001.
Bradley, chance to steal.
Oh, gosh. 99.
Incorrect. It was 2000.
Damn it. Did I win?
You would, yes. 3-2.
Oh, man.
Yes, I think that's the better way of playing it. I'm slowly tweaking this. So.
Oh, I tell you what, this game is a lot of fun.
It feels like...
Because even some of these shows I know and I've seen, and it feels great there.
Now, Eat Man's one of those shows which was super popular for the 2 years it was on.
Let's have a look at it.
I don't remember a thing about it.
The first series is terrible and barely resembles the comic.
He looks like a character from Inuyasha. Is it the same person?
No.
Oh. He looks familiar.
The continuing adventures of Bolt Crank, yes. The world's greatest mercenary, who has the ability to eat any object, mostly metal and weapons. When the time comes, Bolt can then reproduce those weapons and items in his right hand. That sounds pretty cool.
That sounds awesome. That sounds really good.
Yeah, don't watch the first series. But I've not seen the second. I've seen the first, and it's terrible. I'm told the second's better and actually resembles the comic. I've got a few of the comics from when Viz put it out as, like, single issues back in the 90s. And the art's really nice in the comic.
Sounds like something I'd probably like.
Yes, so that's your lot.
2012!
Debut episode of 2013. We will be back next week with, I think, just the two of us talking some more gag manga Biori.
Good times. Good times ahead.
We're going to wrap up everything which has been fan-subbed of that episode and then beg people to fan-sub the rest of it.
Nobody will listen.
There's still a lot to be out there which hasn't been. It's like an entire series and another half series. But, Bradley, anything you want to plug?
Hopefully by the time this podcast is out, I'll have some stuff on my blog, www.thosedamncartoons.com. Perhaps even that jazz guide I keep promising.
Yeah, I really want to read that as well, so do it. Hurry up.
Well, keep bugging me, and it'll eventually happen, especially over a break when I plan to do nothing but watch cartoons and write about them.
You do that anyway!
I was going to say, I can't laugh too much. The amount of notes I've got sitting in Google Docs, which haven't turned themselves into blog posts, is ridiculous.
I tell you what, I have the first or second paragraphs of so many blog posts that I never finish, so... Oh, well. You can also find me on Twitter, at Bradley C. Meek.
Asni.
Yeah, hello. I am on Twitter, and that is AntAskew, A-N-T-A-S-K-E-W, and twitch.tv/AntAskew as well. Go on, follow my Twitch TV. I might have finished a game at that point. I've only finished one game at the moment, and that was Cairo.
Aha. And you can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine and my own website, awesome-engine.com. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so more people can find out about the future that is Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite.